deacon, the only two positions referred to in God's word relative to the local church as an office. So those are our two officers, pastors and deacons. And you can look at Philippians 1:1 quickly, and I'll show you that. Philippians 1:1, keep your place here in 1 Timothy 3. But notice Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So those are the two offices of the local church. And tonight we look at the office of a deacon here in chapter 3, 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the office of a deacon. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Teach us from it tonight, Lord. And I pray that we would grow through it. And may you be glorified. And we just love you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen. So last week we looked at the three Greek words referring to the pastor's office. Chocolate bar? Anybody? One of them? What was that, Claire? Episcopos? Close enough. Chocolate bar. So episcopos, that was the bishop word, which is also translated as overseer. Good. Somebody was listening. What was the second or one of the other Greek words? Presbyteros. Good. Which is the word for elder. I'm sorry. It's not. It's No, it is. It's the word for elder. And then the other one was poimen, which is the word for pastor or shepherd. So those were the five English and three Greek words. Guess what? For the deacon, much easier. One. Amen? One Greek word. Diakonos. So this is actually what you would call a transliteration. So a chocolate bar, if you can tell me the difference between a translation and a transliteration. Ooh, ultimate.
Transliteration sounds like the word that's being translated.
Very good. Chocolate bar for ultimate. You guys help me remember these chocolate bars, okay? So the difference is a translation is when you take a word in one language and translate it into a word of another language. A transliteration is when you take a word of the first language and then you basically create a new word in the other language. So what they did is they took the Greek word diakonos and created a new English word that didn't formally exist, deacon. Isn't that cool? They did the same thing with baptism. The Greek word is baptizo. They took it and created a new English word called baptize, which wasn't an English word before. So this is one of those transliterations, the word diakonos. What does it mean? I'm glad you asked. So let's look in Matthew 20:26 and see how it is translated into English in other places. Same Greek word, diakonos. But what they did, the translators, for us to make life easy, is when it was referring to the office, then they used the word deacon. But when it's used in other places, it's not translated deacon. So notice Matthew 20:26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Same Greek word, diakonos, but different context. And that's why they didn't put deacon in there, because the meaning, the raw meaning of the Greek word diakonos is servant or minister. Also, Matthew 23:11, while you're in Matthew... Matthew 23:11. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's the same Greek word, diakonos. So it's translated minister, servant, or deacon. But deacon only in the context of the local church. So it's only in the church epistles where it is in context. So if we're going to talk about the deacons tonight, we'll talk about the three primary responsibilities or... Yeah, that's probably right. So the pastor's was to feed and lead and be an example, remember? So the deacons have three as well. Theirs are just different. One of them is to be a servant. So in 1 Timothy 3:10, which is kind of obvious since that's what the word means. But, yeah, the first requirement of a deacon is that he be a servant. 1 Timothy 3:10. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So notice it's, they use the office. It has a purpose. Amen. They use the office to what? Serve. But we'll talk about the proved thing in a moment. Now, where do we first find deacons? Let's go to Acts chapter 6. And we'll find the first seven deacons of the church age. Acts chapter 6. And down in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So notice they said, we are not going to serve tables. There's that word, serve. You need to choose some men over this business. The business was that some of the widows were being neglected and they needed help, mostly with food. And so they were chosen to serve. One of them, of course, was Philip, who then gets martyred very soon after. But the first requirement of a deacon is that he be a servant, which is what the word means, which is why they were chosen in Acts chapter 6, was to serve. Amen? Then the second is similar to the pastor in that he's to have high character. And we see that in 1 Timothy. We'll go back there. But notice the words that God uses, grave, which means honest, not double-tongued, which means a straight talker, not given to much wine, not greedy, blameless, a pure conscience, faithful to, proved. And then in Acts 6, what did it say? Honest report. In other words, they have also, just like with the elder, an honest report of those without. So he must have high character. Part of that is having his home in order. 1 Timothy 3:11. What does it say? Where am I? Wrong book. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things, that the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses. Well, so we now find out that it has to be a man. Amen. Because they have to be the husbands of one wife. And they're to be faithful, which we talked about, but it also says they need to rule their house well. So their house needs to be in order. So they need to be a servant, and they need to have high character, and their house must be in order. And interestingly enough, even their wives are mentioned. So who can tell me which verse talks about the pastor's wife? Come on. It's in the book of Hezekiah. Oh, yeah, there isn't a book of Hezekiah. Because there's no verse in the Bible, not one, that talks about the pastor's wife. Isn't that fascinating? But there is a verse. We just read it. Verse 11. Their wives must be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. So the home must be in order, and their wives are mentioned. So those are the, that's the second. So it must be a servant, must have high character, Thirdly, he must be seasoned. So what does that mean? Verse 10, let them first be proved. So what do you think that means? It means that it can't be a teenager, right? And it can't be someone who just got saved. In verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So obviously they know the Word of God as well, the mystery of the faith. So they're familiar with the Word of God. They study the Word of God and they've been proved. In other words, their Christianity has been proved. And if you look back in Acts 6 again, verse 4, most of the things that the disciples requested when asking for these men to be chosen had to do with either their spiritual maturity or their character. Verse 4. Acts chapter 6, we will give our... verse 3, sorry. Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So those are the three primary responsibilities of a deacon. Number one, he's to be a servant, have a servant's heart. Jesus used the word servant, he used the word minister for the word diakonos. So it's implied in the office. And implied also in the choosing of the first seven deacons. Now, we're all supposed to be servants, don't misunderstand. But deacons specifically are to be have that servant's heart. They must have high character, which we just read about, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, house in order, including the wife, and then lastly, must be someone with spiritual maturity. As it says, first be proved, mystery of the faith, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and so forth. So that is the office of a deacon. This is the only passage in the New Testament that addresses the responsibilities of a deacon. This is the only one. Because the pastor is mentioned also in the book of Titus, but not the deacons. Only this passage and in Acts chapter 6, of course, that's all there is. Those two passages. So Acts chapter 6 shows us a pattern of the first seven deacons. And then 1 Timothy 3 here, 8 to 13, shows us the specific requirements from God for being a deacon. So a servant, high character, and seasoned. Amen? The office of a deacon. Paul said that with the bishops and deacons, those are the officers of the local church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your teaching us tonight and that we could learn more from your word, learn more about your plan and how you laid everything out so clearly for the local church. We thank you for that. And again, pray that each of us would strive as you commanded us to be a servant. Lord, to use the gifts and the talents, and the time, and everything that you've given us that we might serve one another as you commanded us.